Follow me carefully as I give you a few introductory points. Point number one, we're commanded by God to think on some things. We read those a while ago. The Bible commands us to think on things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that have a good report. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that we emphasize some Bible commandments and not all of them? Why is it we'll want to rise up in anger and mutiny against people because they disobey one commandment of God? And seemingly we are not even concerned about the other commandments of God. Now you listen to me. My Bible says we're commanded to think whatsoever things are true. We're commanded to think on those things. My Bible says whatsoever things are honest. We're commanded to think on those things. My Bible says whatsoever things are just. We're commanded to think on those things. My Bible says whatsoever things are pure. We're commanded to think on those things. My Bible says whatsoever things are lovely. We're commanded to think on those things. My Bible says whatsoever things are of a good report. We're commanded to think on those things. Now, we're not supposed to think about things that are of a bad report. See what I said? We're not supposed to think about bad reports. We're not supposed to think about injustice. We're not supposed to think about things that are not pure. We're not supposed to think about things that are dishonest. We're not supposed to think about things that are false. God has built for us boundaries in which we're to keep our thought life. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Now, the second thing I want to say, don't leave me now, the second thing I want to say is, and this seems like it's an unrelated statement, but you will find it is not later on. There is a difference between the mind and the heart. There is a difference between the mind and the heart. Matthew 22:37 and numbers of other places in the Bible, we have scriptures that say something like this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Some places it adds the word body even. But the Bible commands us in several places we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and also with all of our mind. I said there is a difference between the mind and the heart. When the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, he's not talking about thinking in your mind. He's talking about thinking in your heart. All right, I said first, we're commanded to think on some things. Truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness, and good reports. Second, I said there is a difference between the mind and the heart. Number three, these are the two places where we think. Don't leave me. These are the two places where we think. Look right this way. You can take your notes somewhere else. Take your notes in school, but not here. I want your attention right this way, everybody. These are the two places where we think. We think in the mind, and we think in the heart. Now, that doesn't mean the actual muscle called the heart. I'll tell you what it is. The mind is in the Bible the place of consciousness, awareness. That's the mind. When you think with your mind, that means you're aware of something. You have something on your mind. Now, what is the heart? The heart is the place of emotion. We call it the seat, S-E-A-T, the seat of emotion. All right? And the Bible tells us that we can think with our minds and also think with our hearts. Are you following me? All right. That means that we can think with the awareness of something, or we can think with the emotion of something. Jesus said, or the apostle said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man, not the mind, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You're not saved because you mentally say, I believe there's a God. You mentally say, I believe that Jesus died for me. No, you're saved when it gets down to your heart, and you rely upon Him to take you to heaven, you see. So, he says, believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead. So, you can think with your mind, you can think with your heart. Now, the difference is, the mind is a place of awareness, and the heart is a place of emotion. That means this. God wants us to do our thinking, pardon me, let me change that. God wants our thinking to go to our hearts. In Proverbs 23:7, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, all of us think with our minds. All of us are aware this morning that we are in church. We're aware this morning that it's 11:27, and you'll be more aware of the time as the time progresses. But we're all aware this is Sunday morning, February 14, 1988. We're all aware this is the choir up here, and this is the First Baptist Church of Hammond. We're all aware of that. That's in the mind. But now God says, I want you to think in your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what is God saying? God is saying, I want that that is in your mind to get to your heart. What is he saying? He's saying, I want that of which you are aware to get into your emotions. I want you to be more than just aware of the fact that you're saved. I want you to shout because you're saved. I want you to be more aware, not just aware you're going to heaven. I want you to rejoice because you're going to heaven. He's saying, I want you to get in your heart what is in your mind. Let me give you the points I've said so far. We are commanded to think on some things. We're commanded to think about that which is true, that which is honest, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, and that which is of a good report. There is a difference between the mind and the heart. There are two. These are the two places where we think. We think in the mind. We think in the heart. The mind is the place of consciousness or awareness. The heart is the place of emotion. God wants our thinking to go from our mind. Now, He doesn't want us just to think with our heart. In fact, you can't just think with your heart. You go from your mind and an awareness of what you have, and it goes to your heart, and then you rejoice because of what you have. I'm going to heaven when I die, folks. I'm on my way to glory. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are forgiven. Now, the reason that some of you say, holler amen when I say that, and some of you, when you think about that alone, you rejoice, and others of you yawn and wish we'd go home, is because it's never gotten to some hearts here. Your salvation is up here. I mean, you know that you're saved. You're aware that you're saved, but it's never gotten down here. Now, for example, this is the Valentine's Day. Maybe the Valentine has gotten down here. Maybe your basketball team has gotten down here. Maybe your romance has gotten down here. Now, if you could get Christ down here, I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm saying that God wants the consciousness and the place of awareness here to get what is in that mind down to the emotions. I wouldn't give you a dime for folks that are not emotional. You say, well, I'm just not the emotional type. Well, you can be forgiven for that. And that can be corrected, like any other sin can be corrected. Now, all right, the question is, how does the thinking get to the heart? If there is a difference between the mind and the heart, and if we think in our minds and in our hearts, and God wants our thinking to get from our minds to our hearts, then how does this thinking get to the heart? Let me use the scripture. Matthew 9:36 said, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved. That word moved is emote. He was emoted with compassion. When he saw the multitudes. Now, wait a minute. The word saw means this. And when he saw and saw and saw and saw and saw and saw and saw the multitudes, he was emoted with compassion. What happened? It got down to his heart. He knew the multitudes were hungry, and a lot of you folks, you know that, but you never cry because they are. There can be an earthquake in Mexico City, and you won't shed one tear because thousands are killed. Now, you know they're there. You know they're human. And yet, one little child this morning, we know the little Nell's child, and we ought to be concerned about that child, but we know that child, that gets to our hearts. Now, what God is saying here is, Jesus says, he saw, and he saw, and he saw, and he saw. Until the awareness of the hunger of the multitudes went from his mind to his heart. The awareness of the lost condition of the multitudes went from his mind to his heart. Now, that means this. Keep on thinking with the mind, and it will eventually transfer to the heart. What he's saying is this. Make yourself think on these things. Think on honesty. Think on purity. Think on justice. Think on loveliness. Think on good reports. Think on truth. Think on honesty. And he says, keep thinking and keep thinking and keep thinking and keep thinking until that of which you are aware in your mind gets down into the heart. Now, that's one reason why that we often have to wait till we lose something to appreciate it. Because after we lose it, we stop and think how much we loved it. And we think and think and think and think and think. I had some people in Texas when I was pastor there. After I left, I do not know how many people said to me, Brother Hiles, we just did not know how much we loved you until you were gone. Well, I thought they loved me when I was there. But what are we saying? Someone will pass away. And all of a sudden, he becomes beloved. Why? You think about him more in his death than you did in his life. And that's crooked. That's wrong. That's sinful. What God's people need to do is to discipline themselves to think on these things and think on these things and think on these things and make yourself and force yourself and discipline yourself to think on these things until that which is in your mind gets in your heart, then you can shout like the rest of us. You can rejoice like the rest of us. Now, let me say this. He says, these are your boundaries. Real straight. Here's a guy that starts thinking about something you did to him. And he thinks about it, and he gets madder. Did you ever hear anybody say this? You said it yourself. The more I think about that, the madder I get. What to do? Transfer from your mind to your heart. Did your wife? No. Wives don't do this. Husbands do it. But maybe one of your wives did it. How many wives you got? But anyway, did you hear anybody say, they start thinking about that, and they start talking about it. And the more they talk, the more they work themselves into a dither. And they say it again, and they're a little bit mad, and they say it again, and they're madder, and they say it again, and they're madder, and they say it again, and they're furious. Why? What are they doing? The more I think about that, the madder I get. I know it. What's happened? You think about it, and think about it, and think about it, and think about it, till it goes from your mind to your heart. Now, you can say this too if you want to. The more I think about that, the better I get. The more I think about that, the happier I get. The more I think about that, the more loving I feel. You see, what I'm saying is this. God is saying, I want you to think in your mind so much by self-discipline so that what is in your mind, the awareness place, will get into your heart, the emotion place. But he said, these are the boundaries. He has built a fence around what we ought to think about. He says, think and think and think and think about truth. Think and think and think and think about honesty. That means you'll have to quit reading the National Enquirer. That means you'll have to quit watching your soap operas. Whatsoever things are pure. Are the soap operas pure? Rotten is the devil that spawned it. That means Dallas goes out the window. That means Love Boat goes out the window. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things of a good report. That means gossip goes out the window. Whatsoever things are a good report. Whatsoever things are a good report. God says, I'm building you a boundary. I'm leaving out impurity. Don't think about that. I'm leaving out bad reports. Don't think about that. I'm leaving out injustice. Don't think about that. I'm leaving out bad reports. Don't think about that. I'm leaving out that which is not true, untruth. Don't think about that. But he said the things that are inside these boundaries, think and think and think and think and think until it goes from your head, your heart. Look. Five young men have come to me in the last 2 weeks and said, Brother Hiles, my wife is not affectionate. Now, he was talking about just kissing. Saying, I love you. Gucci goo. Just stuff like that. And I said, now look, Bob, Eau Claire. I said, Bob, look in the mirror. How would you like to see that coming at you? I'd love to be on a track seeing a train coming at me. But now listen. You know what the difference is in affection, and those who are affectionate and those who are not affectionate? One thing. Thinking. That's the whole deal. What do you say with the house? I haven't got time to think. You discipline yourself to think. And you say, listen, you could work up this morning for me during this sermon and a hatred or a deep love, depending on what you think about while I'm preaching. I've seen preachers do that. I've probably done it myself. I've seen preachers while they're preaching. All of a sudden, they got thinking about something, they got happier and happier and happier, and they exploded. Then I've seen preachers, all of a sudden, they got thinking about sin and wrong, they got madder and madder and madder till they almost just shot everybody. You can get to where you can just take a machine gun and start shooting the congregation. Oh, blessed thought. But anyway, why? Because you are thinking about something till it transfers from the head, the mind, to the heart. Now, you can do that about evil, you can do it about good. But God says, I want you to confine your thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking to these six things. Truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness, and a good report. Now, listen to me. I'll guarantee you, if you will take these things and build a wall and put these things inside them and let these be your boundary and not think about things outside these six things, and you keep on thinking and keep on thinking, I'll guarantee you, you become affectionate and you become have depth of feeling and expression of that feeling. God says, don't think about anything outside. Stay inside the boundaries. Let these things get to your heart. Illustration. I was preaching one Sunday and I said something like this and it like shook me up. We have two daughters in Texas. I guess I see those daughters about 4 hours a year total. I'm sure that would be an optimistic yes. 4 hours a year total. Now, if God lets me have my 70, I've got 8.5 years left. 4 hours a year times 8.5 years, that means I got 32 hours left to see my daughters. But I'll guarantee you, I spend more time with my children than you do because I think of them and I dwell on them and I pray for them. And I probably feel much closer to them than they feel to me because I think on these things. I think about them. I pray every day around America. I take get a map of America, start off in Seattle, Washington, and I pray down the coast. Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Fresno, Los Angeles, San Diego, and on up through the Arizona, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota, down to Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, on down south to New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas, come back up through Missouri and Illinois and Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and go back down through Indiana and Tennessee and Kentucky, and I pray throughout the entire day, pray for the entire country every day. Now, wait a minute. I stop in certain areas where I pray, and I go to church there. I go to church every day, for example, at the Faith Baptist Church, Canoga Park, Illinois, every day. I walk inside that building every day. I sit down at the seat where I sit in when I go out there once a year. I'm there two nights a year and one morning. I sit down in seat beside, in that chair, same seat as I sit in out there, every day. I hear that choir sing every day. When I go out to Faith Baptist Church once a year, I feel like I'm a member of that church. Why? I think about them. Look, folks, listen to me. We are a depraved, sorry bunch of people. You'll take your newspaper and look through it trying to find the scandals. The most popular, what's that program at night at 10:30? I've forgotten. Nightline. What's the guy's name? Yeah, Ted Koppel. The most popular Ted Koppel program, most popular Nightline in the history of our nation. And by the way, a few of you woke up when I said Nightline. You know why? Because you want to hear this. Most popular Nightline program in its history was when they interviewed Jim and Tammy Baker. And I'll guarantee you this. I'll guarantee you that more people in this room right now watch that program than watched any Nightline program in the history of its existence. You know why? Because you want to think about that which is unholy. You want to think about that which is impure. You want to think about the bad reports. And back in those days, you'd grab your newspaper and go through it and look to try to find an article about Dick and Tammy Baker. I have yet to read an article about it. I have yet to watch a television program about it. I'm not going to dwell on that kind of garbage. I don't care who in Hollywood's married for the 18th time. I don't care how many illegitimate kids that the whores and whoremongers and harlots and prostitutes out there have had saved. I don't care about the garbage and the filth. My Bible says I am supposed to dwell up here on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. I'm to think about it up here till it gets down here, and when it gets down here, it gets in my lover then. It gets to my emotions. You know, you ever stop and think that guy that sits beside you that bothers you saying amen? Do you ever stop and think that you're bothering him not? Ever dawn on you? Ever dawn on you that to him you're as peculiar as he is to you? You know why? The difference is you don't think on these things. Illustration. I pray around this area. I pray for most of you in this room regularly. I pray. I started the church. Go out to South Hammond. I'll go to North Hammond first. And go through South Hammond, go out to Dyer, Munster, Cherville, Highland, Merrillville, Hessville, East Chicago. You know, a lot of you say, Brother House, I wish I were closer to you. Well, do it. I think about you. I feel like I'm a member of your family. I married a young lady here last night. Well, I married a young man, too. This just so happened. They both wanted to get married the same day. And I married a couple here yesterday evening. Now, it's a strange thing about that. I felt like I was a member of the family. I've never been inside their house. I have never walked inside their house. But I feel like I'm a member of the family. You know why? Because I think about them. And I think and I think and I think until it leaves my mind and gets to my heart. Look, your life could be changed. You don't have to spend your life being a deadhead. You don't have to spend your life being unemotional. You don't have to spend your life trying to excuse your lack of emotion for the fact that you're just made that way. Well, my family never has been affectionate. Well, change the line. But we just are not that type of people. Well, then be that type of people. The difference is some people think and think and think and think and think. Okay, how about this little Nims child? I go, well, I'll do this afternoon. I did it last night. I'll think about that mother walking the floor of the hospital. I'll think about that dad. I'll think about when our daughter Becky was 2 years of age. She almost died with pneumonia back before they had the medicines that cure them. And the doctor came and said, stay here all night. Her little fingernails began to turn blue. Call me immediately. I watched those little fingernails throughout the night. I think about that. And I'll guarantee you, several times this afternoon, tears will come to my eyes. And I'll get to lift up my heart to God, and I'll say, "Oh, God, bless that little baby and give his Vernon and his wife strength today." And not Vernon, but what's his name? Lewis, strength today. And Leah, strength today as they endure this. And, "Oh, God, help the doctors." Listen, there's no need for you not to be emotional. There's no need. Oh, you say, "Well, Brother Howes, we're Yankees. We're Northerners. And you Southerners are hotter bloody than we Northerners are." That's not true. Shut up. No, it's not true either. Not true. We first came to this church 29 years ago this August. And I started preaching like I preach, and I started getting complaints. I don't like all that hollering in the pulpit. We don't believe, we're just not. We up here in this area are just more dignified. Somebody took me to a basketball game down here to the Civic Center. We had a boy in our church named Mike Terry that was playing on the basketball team. The guy who beside me, who had said to me, "Well, the Howes, we're not as emotional now. You have to understand, we're not as hot-blooded as you Southerners are. And you're not as emotional." In that basketball game, the score was tied, and our team shot the basket and broke the tie. And this guy who told me they weren't emotional got the hat of the fella in front of him and lifted the hat off the fella. He knew him, lifted the hat off of him, and said, "Whoopee!" And down went the hat. And the hat stopped here, and the brim came on down to the neck. I leaned over and said, "You know, you're not very emotional up here, are you? Now, you listen to me. If Hoosiers that think about Jesus as much as they do basketball, they get as excited at church as doing a basketball game. The trouble is, you think about something, you think about the basketball, you think about it until it gets to your heart, and then you don't think about God, you don't think about good, you don't think about Christ, you don't think about salvation, you don't think about heaven. Enough to it gets to your heart. Think about it here. Think and think and think and think and think, and eventually it'll go to your heart. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Not as a man thinketh in his mind, but as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think about salvation. Every day of my life, I think about salvation. And I think up a spell. "I wish I could feel as deeply as you." Then feel a lot. Keep on feeling. It'll get down there. Keep on feeling. I think about salvation. Now, follow me for a second. Do you know that Christ, the Son of the living God, dwells in here? Do you know that if I drop dead this morning, I'll be playing tag with the angels by dinner time, lunchtime? I'm not sure we'll play tag. We may play checkers. I don't know if we're going to play. But do you know that in heaven, the name Jack Fraser Hiles is written indelibly in the Lamb's Book of Life? Did you know that every sin of my life is forgiven? Did you know that? Did you know that heaven is my home? That is my book. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my guide and my comforter and my strength. And the rapture is my hope. And heaven is my home. Listen, you think about that in its reality up here for enough time, it'll get down here, and even you Episcopalians will say whoopee after a while. That's your problem. Your husband ought not have to go through life with an unaffectionate wife, and your wife ought not have to go through life with an unaffectionate husband, and children ought not have to go through life with unaffectionate parents. And I'll tell you what, I've never seen in my life so many children, especially teenagers, who are reaching out begging for the affection from their dads and their moms, and they don't get it, and they don't feel it, and they want, and you wonder why they go out and get pregnant. They want somebody to love them. That's why. They don't get it at home. Nobody cares. Nobody loves them. Why? We're just not that type in our house. Well, get that type. It's available for you. Think about it. You know that's what loving really is? I probably shouldn't say this, but there's a book out. And I know the author. I know him well. I used to preach in his church when he was a pastor. Called The Act of Love. It's about sex. I wish he had thought another time about that. I wish he hadn't chosen something so... And sex is not wrong, but I wish he hadn't called that the act of love. That means that brothers can't love each other. That means unless it's sex, you can't commit the act of love. You know what the act of love is? The act of love is when you sit and think about somebody and you think about their burdens and you think about their problems and you think about their courage and you think about their perseverance and you think about their goodness and you think about their life and you think what they've done for you till all of a sudden that awareness up here transfers to your heart. That's the act of love. That's what the act of love is. By the way, that's what the act of hate is too. You sit around and dwell on it and dwell on it. By the way, it's always what they've done to hurt you. Now, they can hurt the whole world and they're good guys, but they hurt you, they're rotten as the devil. The act of hate is you dwell and you dwell and you dwell and you dwell. I know folks in this room obsessed by it. Totally obsessed. I'm thinking of four or five folks in this room that hate somebody in this room. And they're totally obsessed with it. Absolutely. Think about it. The Bible says you're not supposed to think about it. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. By the way, it's not talking about whatsoever things are true and then honest. No, he's talking about you limit it to the truth. Then you limit it to honest truth. Then you limit that to just honest truth. Then limit that to pure, just, honest truth. Then limit that to lovely, pure, just, honest truth. Then limit that to a good report of lovely, pure, just, honest truth. That's what it's saying. I got news for you. You can feel. In your heart. But you'll never feel in your heart until you discipline yourself to think. Man sat in my office yesterday morning. Wonderful man. Told me he loved me. He's told me before. And I've always believed him because he says it in a way that it always makes contact with my spirit. But no way he does. Because that man used to pastor. And he knows the burdens of pastoring. And that man thinks about my burdens. And thinks about my work. And thinks about my toil. And because he thinks about that, it's transferred from his head, his mind, to his heart. Think how good God's been. That's why I make a list of things when I pray. I go to a certain place and I call it my praise place. And I just write down all the good things I can think of that God's done for me. I go through that list. How long do you go through the list? Till I work up a froth. Yeah. Yeah. How long do you dwell on it? Till I shout about it. Old Dr. Tom Malone used to say, I read the Bible every day. Somebody said, how long do you read it? Dr. Malone said, I read the Bible every day till my heart burns. That's why you don't understand the Bible. You don't read enough of it. Till your heart burns. I think about people till my heart burns. I think about the country till my heart burns. I think about my people till my heart burns. I want you to get these words. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you think is in your heart, not in your mind. What you think in your mind is not what you are. What you think in your heart is what you are. If you think more about sports than you do about the Bible, then you're thinking about sports in your heart. People say to me, Brother Hiles, how do you always walk in the pulpit on top? I'll tell you how. Because I run from thoughts out of bounds. These are my boundaries here. Any thoughts outside truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness, good report, I don't think about them. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they never enter. I'm saying I chase them out and I run from them all the time. I run from people who have thoughts that are out of bounds. I run from people who are going to bring negative reports. Why? Because I've got to walk in here every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, and you don't need some guy up here that's down all the time. You need somebody that's on top side. And if I give you what you need, I've got to be on top side. And if I'm on top side, I've got to think right in my heart. And if I think right in my heart, I've got to stay within the bounds of truth, honesty, justice, purity, loveliness, and a good report. And by the way, if you just think of some of these things, and not all of them, you got a plank out in your fence. You'll get out of bounds. I run from articles that are out of bounds. I run from books that are out of bounds. I run from talk that's out of bounds. I run from letters out of bounds. I probably shouldn't say this either. There's a lady, used to be in this church. She's not here anymore. She wrote me a letter one time, years ago. Put it on my door one Sunday morning. It was a scorcher. It was a scorcher. I mean, she even was in bad shape. She didn't like Brother Colston. Now, I didn't know anybody didn't like him. She didn't like anybody or anything. I read that letter one time. For years and years and years, till she left this church, she wrote me a big, thick letter every Sunday morning and stuck it under my door. Never read another one. I flushed it down to come over where the rest of the refuse goes. Never read another one. You know why? That's what you need, is some guy to read that kind of letters before he walks in the pulpit every Sunday and walk over here cast down and downcast. Try to lift you up. You need somebody to walk through that door over there. It's on top side. And if I'm on top side, I've got to think right in my heart. If I think right in my heart, I've got to think right in my mind and think off enough in my mind so what I think about my mind goes to my heart so I can have feeling. We could go yesterday morning. One of the finest people in this church and didn't do it. And he's a very positive person. Didn't do it to hurt me at all. Made mention of something. And it was something that hurt me. I don't mean angered me. I mean it made me sad. And that thing got inside. I got out of bounds for a second there. And all weekend, I fought to stay in bounds. I stayed in bounds. But I stayed barely in bounds. Why? Because I've got to walk in this pulpit on Sunday morning. Now look, your daughter and son need you on top side all the time too. Your husband and wife need you on top side all the time too. The folks on where you work need you on top side all the time. I'm not the only person supposed to stay on top side. You've got folks that you influence. So what should you do? You ought to take these six things and build a fence around them. And inside these six things, you think about them with your mind and think about things about them with your mind until they get to your heart, so you think in your heart what you ought to think. And then the heart is the place of emotion. The mind is the place of awareness. But if you are aware and aware and aware and aware and aware, all of a sudden you'll stop and you'll think about that thing or that person and how much you love them. And oh, what good fellow he is. He's a nice guy. He's a wonderful guy. Bless his heart. He's been going through the fire. And bless his heart. He's been faithful and loyal for all these years. So it gets down to here. Most of you, whenever I bring somebody's name up who's gone to heaven, you think about them in your mind just for that long. I go to the cemetery. I go to their graves. I stand beside their graves. I remember them. And I think about them. And I love them. I was beside Mr. Bruick's grave the other day. And I just got to thinking about when that man who had cancer couldn't walk, kept on coming to church, crawled in this room over here in the choir reading room. I almost knocked myself out with the microphone then. Crawled in this room and laid down over here so he could hear me preach on a PA system in this room over here and so he could be near this church. He was a dying man. And I thought about that the other day. And within 5 minutes of thinking about that, it was down in my heart, and I was praising God for Mr. Bruick. Then I got thinking about the Bruick family, and I praised God for the Bruick family. Why?
I thought about them.
Your problem is you're thinking of what you're going to wear. What's the next thing you're going to buy? Please don't misunderstand me. We cut up an awful lot about this. Woman's place is in the mall. When things get tough, the tough go shopping. We cut up about it a great deal, but the tragedy is it's too true. That's what's on our minds. You know why it's on our minds? Always watching the ads, doing window shopping, watching the commercials on television. That's on your mind. The only difference in me and you in this matter of emotion, and by the way, I feel deeply. And to this day, I never can understand it when anybody leaves this church that I pastored for many years. Never can understand it. Because I think they love me like I love them. I just sort of feel that way because I've thought about them so much I never can understand why I just feel like they feel like I feel. But the difference between us is I think about you. And I think about you. On airplanes. In airports. In my study. In my car. In my hotel rooms. I think. And I think, and I'm aware, and I'm aware. And then all of a sudden, he goes to my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I must learn the most powerful, positive things I can, because a battle's going on all week in my life between the positive and the negative. I must stay in bounds and think with my mind, so I can think enough that it goes to the heart. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our Heavenly Father.